It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer, Kent. The Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, it provides scientific information about the geology, mineral deposits, and the water resources of our state as part of UW-Madison Division of Extension. We meet its new director, Sue Swanson, who also serves as state geologist. Call in with a question. You can share your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Sue, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, give us some introduction. What is the purpose of the State Geological Survey?
Right. So the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey was created by the Wisconsin legislature way back in 1897. And it's actually a descendant of earlier state surveys in Wisconsin, which go back to 1854. These were originally actual surveys, multi-year efforts commissioned by the state legislature, and they were designed to describe and evaluate the state's geological and mineral resources. But they also did things like assign names to rock formations, and many of these names are still in use today. So like I said, we were formally established in 1897, and today we are part of the Division of Extension at UW-Madison. We're housed within the Natural Resources Institute, and we conduct natural resources inventories and applied research to produce information for decision-making, problem-solving, planning, management, development, and education. So, and we work with a variety of partners.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Like, what partners, what state agencies or departments use your analyses, and then for what purposes?
Right. Yeah. So we work with county and local governments, regional planning commissions, state agencies like the Department of Natural Resources or the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And we also work with federal agencies like the U.S. Forest Service. And I think it's really important to understand from the beginning that the State Geological Survey doesn't have any specific regulatory or enforcement responsibilities. So we really do aim to provide objective scientific information.
So that really gives you quite a bit of independence, and yet you're taking on projects that, these other state agencies or departments are asking you to take on. I mean, how does that type of relationship work, you know, in terms of what you prioritize?
That's right. So we work closely with state agencies in particular to develop priorities. And this might be around new legislation or rules that agencies like the Department of Natural Resources or DATCAP enact. So maintaining those partnerships is really important, making sure that there are good lines of communication.
How long might a project last?
Yeah, typical projects are at least 1 year in length, and oftentimes are multi-year. So one thing about geological information is that it takes some effort to go out and collect, right? Whether we are literally on foot looking at rock outcrops in the state, whether we are hiring drillers to help collect samples in the subsurface, or whether we're collecting groundwater samples, it can take some effort to actually plan the data collection phase of a project. And then additionally, especially for water resources questions, a single sample tends not to be as helpful as information that's collected over time. Mm-hmm. So we might go out to a particular site on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, on an annual basis to better understand how the system changes seasonally or annually.
Sue Swanson with us, Wisconsin's new state geologist, director of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way. The number is 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Sue, you have spent decades in the field. Why did you decide to move from research in hydrogeology and more teaching-based roles to managing a statewide organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always been interested in serving society. And so early in my career, I was a Peace Corps volunteer and gained valuable experience teaching math and science at a secondary school. I really enjoyed learning about cultures that differed from my own. That's one of the reasons I went into education as a whole in the first place. But after serving as a professor for over 20 years, I decided I was really interested in maybe having an impact on a statewide basis, really serving all the residents of Wisconsin. So that prompted a change in my career.
We're going to go way back to the Ice Age, land carved out by glaciers. How much of the research about our state's glacial geology comes from the survey, comes from the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey?
Right. Well, a lot of it does. So, and I think a good thing to note is that the mapping that the State Geological Survey does really underpins all of our work at the State Geological Survey. So whether we're talking about mapping of rocks, bedrock, or whether we're talking about mapping glacial deposits, it really impacts everything that we do. As listeners may know, Wisconsin was covered by glaciers repeatedly. And the most recent glacial period is actually named after the state of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin glaciation, because we have really clear features of that event in the state. And, that began about 32,000 years ago, and ended up covering most of Wisconsin, not all of Wisconsin. But the ice finally retreated about 7,000 years ago. So it's a big part of what shapes the landscape of Wisconsin today, and also is a really big part of why we have such abundant water resources in the state.
It truly makes us special in so many ways, especially in those natural resources. Sue Swanson is Wisconsin's new state geologist, director also of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. As we discuss the geological features of our state, call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey has been a state institution for 170 years. We learn about projects the survey takes on with its new director, Sue Swanson, who also serves as state geologist. And you can join the conversation at any point. Call in with a question. Share your perspectives, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sue, earlier this year, parts of Wisconsin experienced an exceptional drought. That's how it was characterized by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. How has the recent drought affected the research of the survey?
That's a great question. So thinking about our water resources in Wisconsin, I think Something that it might be helpful for listeners to understand is that primarily at the State Geological Survey, we study groundwater resources, sort of much more than surface water resources. The two interact, really. Really, the two are the same, but we tend to focus more on groundwater. And groundwater responds very slowly to changes in the water cycle. So the drought over this last summer would have a greater effect on our groundwater resources, that is, maybe a decline in the water table, if we saw a multi-year drought. Similarly, when we see multiple years with higher than average precipitation, that's when the water table starts to rise. So there's often a lag in the effect of, say, a seasonal increase or decrease in precipitation.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so in terms of mapping, how does the survey take inventory of how groundwater is flowing in the state and what is happening, you know, with water resources that are, you know, going through sediment and soil?
Good. Yeah. We're involved in inventorying at the statewide level and also at the county level. So one interesting project that we just wrapped up was in association with Bayfield County, way up in northern Wisconsin. And for this project, what we did was to inventory flowing artesian wells. So these are wells that don't require a pump for the most part. Water naturally flows to the surface because of the geologic and topographic conditions. The local residents really value the flowing artesian wells in the area. For a hydrogeologist, flowing wells and springs, too, are really helpful because they're an easy way to sample groundwater. It's coming right
it's
to the
surface,
right?
It's coming right to
right?
you. Yeah.
Yeah. And the water chemistry of that groundwater then emanating from a spring or a flowing well can inform where water enters the aquifer and how long it takes to flow from what we call the recharge area, where water enters the system, to the well, what we call the discharge area. So in Bayfield County, you know, there's very little development or agriculture, and water quality is really high. But that also means it might be vulnerable to changes in land use. So for this reason, documenting where the flowing artesian wells are and doing some initial baseline chemistry on them is really helping to better assess their vulnerability to changes in the future.
What can you tell us about research related to toxic chemicals or PFAS, and what are you finding in water resources?
Yeah, so I think a good thing to know too is that really the first stop for Wisconsin residents with concerns about PFAS, per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which is a really big sort of hot topic today, right? A contaminant of concern. The first stop should always be a county or local health department or a city engineering department. If residents have concern, and then the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources too has an abundance of information on PFAS on their website, and so that's another good place to look. But to your question, how might the State Geological Survey get involved? I'll give you an example of a current project that we have. This is a collaborative project led by Shangping Zhu at UW-Milwaukee, but also includes Dave Hart from our office. And so PFAS is often released into the environment, and then will seep into the shallow groundwater aquifers where it can enter surface water bodies like Lake Michigan, perhaps. So the goal of this research is actually to test the aquifer materials. And this is where the survey comes in. Because we have a research collections and education center that houses rock core and sediments collected over decades across the state. And it's really like a library of Wisconsin's subsurface materials. And so these researchers are actually testing the aquifer materials themselves to get a better sense of whether PFAS has sorbed onto these materials, and then how likely it is to be released into aquifers and ultimately impact a surface water body like Lake Michigan.
Sue Swanson is Wisconsin's new state geologist, director of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. You can join in with your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Tim in Hollandale is here. Hi, Tim. What would you like to ask? Hi.
I heard her say a lot of stuff about glaciers, but I didn't hear her say anything about the Driftless region and some of the unique features it has. I know there's a cave up by Barneville. That's, I don't know, dates back, I think, to prehistoric, but I'm not completely sure about that.
Tim, thank you. Sue, what can you tell us about the Driftless region?
Yeah, that's a really unique area of Wisconsin. So what we're talking about is the sort of southwest third of Wisconsin. And this is an area that to our knowledge, has never been covered by glacial ice. It's really a unique area. Because of that, when you drive through the Driftless area, you see the rock exposed. Whereas in other areas of Wisconsin, we see the rolling landscape that is more influenced by that, the glacial activity. And so there's a lot of sort of steep valleys and high ridges in the Driftless area. And you can actually see then many of the sedimentary bedrock layers that make up Wisconsin and which are present elsewhere in the state. They're just covered up by glacial materials. Because they've been exposed to the environment, mm-hmm. For much longer periods of time, groundwater has had a chance to seep into some of these rocks and actually dissolve materials like limestone or dolomite. And the listener's right. There's caves in the area. One of the larger caves is Cave of the Mounds, which some folks may have visited. But yeah, these take a long time to develop because a large cavity first needs to form, and then the stalactites and stalagmites form within that cavity by that dripping water.
Let's go to Reed now in Kenosha. Reed, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was under the impression that we were in an interglacial period, the whole planet, for more than 10,000 years. And your guest just mentioned that the Wisconsin ice sheet was still present as early as just 7 or 6,000 years ago. So my question is, am I mistaken about the retreat of the glaciers in a planetary scale? Or was Wisconsin one of the last glacial sheets to finish out mm-hmm. the glaciation
finish
period?
Finish the period. Yes, Reed, thank you. Sue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm going to go to the long-term question that Reed asked about first. And you're absolutely right that there's been a whole series of glacial and interglacial cycles throughout the history of our planet. And these cycles are the results of changes in the shape of the Earth's orbit and the tilt of the Earth's axis. And And they tend to follow a pattern of, like 100,000 years or 500,000 year cycles. So that is true. There are planetary controls on glacial and interglacial cycles. But the most recent glacial period is when what we call the Laurentide ice sheet advanced into North America. And of course, there were other large ice sheets that were present at that time too. And Wisconsin wasn't the last place from which the Laurentide retreated. But from Wisconsin, it retreated, roughly 7,000 years ago from northern Wisconsin.
Sue, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Sue Swanson is State Geologist, Director of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, which is part of UW-Madison Division of Extension. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.